All Eyes on Fishing with Mitch Peterson, Josh Sheldon, and Brad Qualley, leading you to the next level.
Hey everybody, welcome back to All Eyes on Fishing. Got a good thing we're going to talk about tonight. It's actually going to probably go over a few podcasts, but we're going to be talking about your first trip, what you need, and then kind of go for the next weeks, you know, once that ice is first off and you're able to put that boat on. Now you're thinking, geez, it's the beginning of February and you're already talking ice off? Yeah, because you need to prepare.
Absolutely. I'm thinking it, so yeah, might as well talk about it.
I know, right? Yeah. So, but it'll come up quicker than it is. I mean, then you have time for it. Here in Colorado, I mean, the lakes will open up right around March 1st. So we only got a few weeks. So we're almost behind the curve if you want to get stuff ordered or get stuff ready for that first trip out, whether that's from shore or from your boat.
Well, I think that's the key is right now it's the time where you, like I look at my shopping list, right, my wish list, and I'm thinking to myself, I mean, I'm up to like $700-800. None of it I have to have except for maybe fishing line, right?
So yeah, no, you have to have it. Well, it's like a woman with shoes. You have to. I hear it all the time.
I have to have it.
Absolutely, right? So I'm looking at it, and then what I start doing is I start paring it down, right? Like I look at it. What do I need first? What do I have to have in by the end of this month? And then what do I need to have in by the first tournament? What kind of bite? You know, I more or less know what kind of bite the first one. And then, you know, then obviously most everything needs to be in by the third tournament. So that's how I break it down personally. How do you guys do it?
Yeah, I'm just sitting here thinking, I can't wait to get out there and start trolling. You know, because that's what we do out here in Colorado, you know, primarily. We like to go at night and we're bowling stick baits behind boards.
Right.
And oh, yeah, I'm pretty much ready to go.
Yep.
Well, we need to reline.
Like right now?
Right now.
We need to reline. We haven't even got it.
I probably need to charge my boat. Okay, so I'm not ready to go.
So let's focus on a couple things tonight because we could just go down the rabbit hole on this. Let's talk about just trolling and casting from shore. What we're going to do to get prepared, because that's going to be the first things that we're probably going to do outside of a river system to where you're going to cast
right.
jigs.
Yeah, that's important to, I think, clarify, right?
We're talking
open water, lake, reservoir type thing.
We can talk river fishing.
And we're talking early, too. We know a lot of you guys in the Midwest have seasons that maybe don't open till middle of May or something like that. Here, we don't have that restriction. Our season opens as soon as we can afford to put ANS inspectors out by the boat ramp to inspect us for, you know,
before we launch. Yeah, so you guys back in Minnesota, Jones, and, you know, in March and April.
We'll be out there for two months.
Come on out.
Or they can just watch us on YouTube.
Because we are going
to. Sure as fuck catching these fish. What are you guys doing?
Oh, it looks a little chilly out there, eh?
Yeah. So let's talk casting from shore first. So the guys are going to be going out casting from shore.
Which can start right now.
It can. If there's no ice, I mean.
And a lot of our lakes are opening back up. So,
starting to.
Yeah. So the amount of ice that is left here, even though it's been colder than cold recently, we also had a record-setting warm day just on Sunday. So so they're starting to open back up. So you can start casting now, and it's not uncommon.
Okay, what are we going to cast?
So, what are we going to order first?
That's what I'm saying. What are we going to cast? Because that tells us what we need to
right,
order.
Right.
So I guarantee that we are going to start casting stick baits, like your Smith Wick Probes, things like that. Right.
Yep.
We're definitely going to be doing that. But before we even get into that, we're going to be casting spinning reels because that's what we predominantly use. So going along that spinning reels to make sure that spinning reel that you have, if you're ordering one, to make sure it's functioning right, get it all cleaned up, ready to go for the season. But the line is key. I know that every year I probably got, I don't know, if my wife's listening, I got 3 rods. But in reality.
And one of them is mine. Yeah. I just let him use
it. I loan it to Mitch, honey.
Those are Mitch's.
Yeah, those are Mitch's.
But as long as you guys don't say anything, I probably have about that 25 range. They're
hidden behind the door in the garage.
Well, I had probably about another dozen, but my son keeps getting all these fishing rods, and I don't know where mine are going. So between the two of us, we're probably in the mid-30s.
Right,
Actually, I bought. But anyway, so let's just say mid-20s is what I have. So I'm going to go get my spinning rod, and I'm going to go get myself the line that I need to. That's the first thing. I'm ripping off that line, and I'm putting new line
on. Spinning rod do you use? Because I use different. You guys use a little different. I actually use a spinning rod that I bought specific for casting baits, stick baits, crank baits, stuff like that. So what do you guys use? Mine's a little bit longer, closer to that 7 foot mark, mm-hmm. And a little bit different action, a little bit heavier, just because, you know, if we're casting those baits and you get that crushing strike.
Well, or you're casting the wind. Sometimes you're casting a short line. You need to be able to have a little longer pull to be able to get it out. Yep. But we're using a 6 foot six is typically what I'm
like
using.
A jigging rod.
You guys are using more typical jigging rod. A few years ago, I had the same setup. Yeah. It was medium heavy. Yep. It was like 7 and a half.
Mine's just
feet.
More medium, but yeah.
You know, that was my casting rod.
Fast tip.
And poof, I think Nick and Brad probably have that one somewhere too. I don't know.
Yeah, right? That
just, Nick.
Mysteriously disappeared.
Thanks, Nick.
Well, and I go, I go some sort of super line. I like fire line. If you don't like fire line, you can use spider wire. You can use any type of braid or super line. I think works best, especially when you're casting. I know some guys like that Nano. I'm not a big fan of the Nano because I think it spills off the reel and it's difficult to deal with.
It does. I agree. I had issues with it too.
So that new, some of the new Berkeley
the Nano,
products.
Though, does work good for jigging, which we can talk about later.
Yeah. Some of the new Berkeley lines, the XI5 and stuff.
The Ultra 8.
The Ultra 8.
That's my go-to then. Yeah. We switched over last year.
And I love that.
Not a fray.
No,
nothing.
Abrasion resistant.
The stuff lasted all season.
Oh, yeah, it's great. We probably don't even need to replace it.
Yeah.
Okay, so you
Power
have,
Pro, though, is another good one.
So you're talking super lines.
Absolutely.
What about the guy that wants to just use regular mono?
You can use regular mono. I personally have a harder time with mono in the wind. So if we're casting from shore, it's more difficult to get out, especially if you have any sort of weather. On a calm night, doesn't matter. I don't necessarily mind it, especially if we're doing stick baits from shore, because like I said, you get that big strike. Mm-hmm. It gives you a little bit of that shock absorption.
Oh, yeah.
And so you don't, it seems like, maybe that helps you keep that fish on. So as a kid, that's all I ever used. So I can't say I hate it.
Funny you bring that up, because I like mono too for all those good reasons, right? But I prefer fire line and these super lines for no stretch. It's great. And it you can cast it better.
Yes.
My son, who's going to be 12 here in a couple weeks, I've got mono on his because he's used some of my reels with the fire line.
Right.
And he has problems with it, So, he's set up with mono. So it's really what you feel comfortable with. It all works.
And I don't think it gets tangle disease. You don't get the bird nest. You don't have to deal with the some of that stuff, that you have to deal with mono. I think the super line's easier. But I will put it's not necessary to put on a at least I don't think necessary to put on a leader with this. If I have a leader on, I'll use it. If I don't, I won't. With pound test, I usually go 10 or more. It's usually, I think mine's rigged with 12 or whatever it is, 12 or 15. Mm-hmm. But I keep it fairly, stout because we are casting. If it does get hung up on something, by the rocks or in some old weeds or something off the bottom, I want to be able to rip it out of there. And
see, it's funny because for years, I've stayed true to my XL mono when I'm casting from shoreline.
Really?
I use Fireline. I use it for all kinds of applications when we're casting from the boat into structure. But when I'm casting where the shoreline is deep coming shallow, I cast the mono. I have better control. It's just something I'm so used to doing.
And that's the way I was too. I mean, I
cast an 8 pound XL. That's what I have on my casting rods is an 8 pound XL. Make sure my drag is set to about half that test. And you can catch some big girls doing that.
Yeah.
Now, the thing I do give up though is, I give up, and when it's windy, I give up a little bit of casting ability because it just doesn't cut through the line like you would like a 10 pound fire line that's 4 pound diameter.
Right.
I've just lost half of my diameter going up to an 8 pound, so you do lose that.
Well, and I like,
but I like that little bit of stretch, and when I like it is short strike or short when it's close.
Yeah.
Like if you get that fish that you don't know,
it
and it follows it up and strikes 5 feet from you,
sure.
It gives you that little bit of extra stretch, a little bit of extra play.
Yep.
Because that's what I don't like about the fireline casting.
Well, I've recently seen a lot of our listeners, one of our listeners from Michigan, and he'll know who I'm talking about. Big guy, nurse, great guy, sent us a bunch of pictures. He's casting.
Oh, I don't like that guy.
No, it's not.
I read his stuff too. I don't like it.
Yeah, he's casting from from shore. And he has, been listening to us and casting from shore doing exactly like what we're talking about. And he slaughtered them. And I don't mean like huge numbers, but great fish,
really?
Big fish,
nice.
All fall. I mean, to the point where, people were not we're done fishing basically.
Yeah.
And he's fishing, off a riverbank or something. And he's just pounding them, you know, and he's like, I'm out there by myself. It's amazing.
It's so awesome.
And so that's pretty cool to hear. And that's pretty cool to see, but I like the, super lines just because I do like that smaller diameter, but the higher pound test, I want more control. And yes, there can be an issue when you get that fish that follows it up. Right.
Yeah. So there's each side of the coin with that.
But I think that longer 7-foot rod also helps with that. That's why I use that rod that's specifically designed for casting, because I think that's a little bit more of a,
Well, it comes down to your drag too. You got to have your drag set right. I mean, everybody, one of the biggest things when I go out with people that I haven't fished a lot with and I'm watching them, if they're asking for tips, the first thing I do is check their drag, because I can't change their line out when we're out there, but I can adjust their drag to make it right so they're not losing fish on the strike. Yeah. Or because, I mean, we had a guy a couple years ago told us, I had a huge one, so I just kept cranking down the
track. We were like, what?
And I'm doing just the opposite. I'm less. I'm peeling it out with my hands, you know.
Well, I tell you what, here's a little drag thing, too. If you get a fish on.
You want to tell us a little bit?
No, just, not your kind of drag.
What are we going to call you? Miss?
No, stop.
Miss Pufferson?
Stop. No. So if you get a fish and it rips out your drag, red. I'm telling you, check your drag, reset it.
Yeah.
I learned that lesson about 25 years ago, and I hooked into it. I'm sure it was a giant walleye after I caught this smallmouth. It's probably that ripped line.
Yeah, carp. Totally a carp. No. Oh, yeah, I'm telling you, 100% carp.
And I didn't set it, and I lost that fish.
Yeah.
And I can't get it out of my mind.
Yeah.
So guess who checks his drag constantly? Oh, yeah. Probably a freak about it. But you know what? That's probably your best tool on the reel.
The one thing, and then we'll get into the trolling, but the one thing I want to make sure people, if you end up going with mono or fireline, whatever you do, but if you're going to go with the mono, go with that XL because it's extra limp. Don't do the XT at this point because you will lose some castability. As far as I'm concerned with that mono, that XT is extra tough. It's great if you're pitching bass fish, it's a little bit stiffer, but when you're casting and you need to get that long cast, cause you're casting pretty much parallel to the shoreline.
Mm-hmm. A lot of times,
I mean, a little bit of an angle, 30 degrees or whatever, that you want to get that out there, that extra 10, 15 feet away from you, and you're going to do that when you're fishing that XL versus an XT.
Right, and remember, if you're putting on a braid or a super line, that you need to put just a tiny bit of mono as a backing, connect it with a uni knot, and then finish putting on your super line, or it will slip on it or whatever. So make sure you do that. Plus, you don't need a ton, right? Yep. I mean, that's the best part is if you buy it now, you get a big enough spool, you actually, if you lose some, you can just go and put some more on, you know? I mean, so that's the thing is we all have done this, right? You buy a spool line and you only put on so much and you leave a pretty good chunk left and you forget about it for a year. And then by next year, you've lost it or it doesn't look great. And
well, that's what's good about the super line is you can use exactly. it for a few years.
So just make sure because then you can do it because then you can change out because you probably should change out if you're using it a lot. You probably should change out. Even the super line, I like to change out even at some point. On my more used rods halfway through the summer or towards the middle of the summer.
You're going to change it out at least once a year.
Yep.
But that stuff that's in the box, it's good. The super line, as long as it's not in the sun and stuff, I don't know how it breaks down. Mm-hmm. But I've put super line on that's been a couple years old in the box. Yeah. Sitting, it's fine.
Yeah.
You know, I tell you what, with the casting from shore, we've kind of got the equipment dialed in, right? Mm-hmm. And what you need, stick baits and blah, blah, blah. But, okay, how do you do it? It kind of made me think when you said, you know, we primarily cast parallel with the shore. And, you know, it is an angle. You know, it's at probably 30-degree angle. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'll fan cast that whole section.
Oh, yeah. I cast straight out from me sometimes. But predominantly, wouldn't you say 60-70% of the time you're fishing that angle?
You're covering more of that shallow water.
Well, that's where those fish are cruising.
Yes.
They're looking for that easy meal and that warmer water up on those rocks that have warmed up all day. And they're just cruising through that, you know. And even if it's a steep drop, they're still up in that couple feet of water of the water column. So that's something to keep in mind.
Well, and I'll tell you what, when I do that, say I've got a 200-yard stretch of, say, riprap that I want to cast. I do not spend much time in one spot.
Mm-hmm. No, you can't.
I fan cast that whole area, primarily, you know, side to side, because in that more shallow water, and I'm covering more water too.
Yep.
But then I will walk down 20 yards and do it again. And I keep moving, all because in my mind, any fish that's in that zone that I'm, you know, that's going to see my bait and go after it, and they're there for one reason, you know, especially in the spring, they're feeding. So if I just make the assumption, if I don't get bit, there's no fish there right now. Mm-hmm. So I'll work my way all the way down my stretch. and then turn around and work my all the way back. Oh, yeah. And just keep working it, because mm-hmm. you know they filter in and out, like you said, they're cruising.
Absolutely.
But if I don't get fired up, if I don't get a bite, I just move a little bit and keep fishing.
Well, and the thing with moving, and then we're going to get into the trolling aspect, is, and I've seen this happen a bunch, especially when I took my young one out, when he's not young anymore, but when he was younger, is that stinking headlamp. I am telling you, it's shining right down in the water. So keep your headlamp off. And if you're going to change or do anything to, take weeds off or anything, turn away from the shore. Turn your headlamp on. You know what I mean?
Right.
Don't just glare it right down in the water.
Yeah.
Because it does create kind of a spook.
And when we're talking about how you're going to do it, I like to you can laugh away. Here we go. I'm going to say it. Okay, I like to give it a jerking action.
Yeah.
And but
that's not even funny. We know that.
Yeah. It's just common knowledge. And anyways, I like to do a jerking action and long pauses. People don't think about that, but you are fishing fish that may take a minute or two to look at it, right? So I give it a long pause, almost excruciatingly long, just to let it kind of sit there and float or slowly
suspend.
Come up, suspend, mm-hmm. Because then you do it again and that fish looks like, oh, you know, and it catches its attention. Yep. So, and even if it's following it up, I have watched, and I know I've seen videos out of this in ice fishing, is those wallies will come up and nose bump, right? I have seen them come up and nose bump suspending stick baits and not hit them, just bump it and sit there and watch it. And you get a jerk and it races up, right? Races right up, stops right before, bump. Mm-hmm. And you're like, take it, man. You know, and I've seen them do that all the way to the boat. Never take it. They'll sit right underneath the boat and watch you lift it up out of the water and cast again, and then they go off. So it's kind of interesting to see that on the ice fishing stuff too. But so anyways, more of a reason for a long pause, especially at night. Let them zero in.
Well, don't be afraid to do a steady retreat too. But just don't keep one technique. Yeah. Go until you find what's working.
I'll switch it up and see. Yeah. So
I like a slow retrieve, and I really love the stick baits with rattles. Mm-hmm. You know, just at night, I want them to feel it, hear it.
And I'm a big fan of the originals. I love those original Rapala stick baits.
Rapala.
Why Rapala. Does he do that every time?
Because I've been seeing it for 43 years, dude.
Yeah, but you've been seeing it wrong.
Well,
if you lit your hand on fire for 43 years, would you keep doing it? No.
Well, if that's all I knew, I might. You never know.
All right, over to trolling. Now, the guys that are fortunate enough to have a boat and they want to get out. We've caught them during the daytime trolling basins with lead core and stuff. That's a whole nother podcast. Let's just talk about just straight trolling and not getting fancy with lead. Usually we're going out just before dark, you know, maybe an hour before, so you mm-hmm. get everything set up and you start working your basins or wherever your warmest water, wherever you're finding those balls of bait fish. That's what you're going to look for, the warmest water that you can when you're going to start trolling. So we're going to have our trolling rods. Now let's talk a little bit about trolling rods. We use, right now we're using 7.5-foot to 8-foot trolling rods, right? Mm-hmm. And we are putting straight mono on those. Those are 10 pound.
10 pound XT.
Yep. We use XL,
green.
But same.
Yeah.
And the reason why is because we like the XL because we've used it for so long. That we're very comfortable with it.
Right.
You're comfortable with the XT. I don't really know if there is a benefit to the XT versus XL when you're pulling a trolling rod.
Well, and I got to tell you, on the trolling rods too, I was I have used Suffix quite a bit too. Say like I couldn't get the XT or was, you know, something. I really liked the Suffix as well. I thought it was durable. I thought it was a good line as well for the trolling rod. So I'm a big fan of both of those. But I get the 1,000-yard spool, so I can do all four or 5, depending on what I do. And again, I use backing on my trolling rods.
Yeah, we put 900 feet on each one of our trolling rods.
And that way it's all zeroed in. I come down to the knot every year. I can do it at the same knot, break it off, tie it on, and start reeling it back up. And then I can go exactly, because, you know, you set your counter, right? And it goes negative.
Your line counter.
Yeah, your line counter. And I go take it all the way off. And then I tie the knot and I go all the way back up to zero. And I know I'm exactly where it was and done. Off I go. Mm-hmm. So it's a great, great way. So definitely a mono. I know a lot of guys that use super lines and stuff like that for trolling. Not my thing, not my favorite thing.
Well, I think a lot of guys do that to get a little more depth out of their baits too, right?
Yes.
They cut through the water. Well, that's never a problem usually.
Not in springtime anyways. Well, maybe later.
Well, and if it could be.
There's other techniques. You can snap weight. You can leg core.
That's exactly
do
where I was going. Usually when we're trying to pick that bait in the zone, usually it's a problem of finding one that's not going to run too deep almost.
Well, and the thing is consistency. So the reason why me and Mitch have went with XL is because we've been doing it for years, right? Mm-hmm. I know the dive curve. If I put something back 100, if I put a flicker shad back or a flicker minnow, I know at 120 feet how deep it's going to run. I know at 110 feet how much it's going to run.
Right.
If I change that up to a super line, now I'm relearning what my dive ratio is for my trolling. Yep. So it's a big thing. When you find one that you like, whether that's Strand, Berkeley, whatever, do the mono. If you're going to do fireline or super line, do that so you get comfortable with it.
Yep. So we're using the same stick baits we use casting offshore.
Yep.
And we're going to use 11s, 13s.
Nines to start with for sure. It's got to be a nine or bigger.
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't go any smaller than a nine. And I actually don't even think I own any nines. It always is that bigger.
We're
profile.
Running 11s most of the time and 13s, but I have had some nines for whatever reason. I'm just saying, if that's what you have, order some 11s, 13s, but get out on the water and hit that nine.
Right. And you can use Husky jerks, and you can use, and I like using the, even the deep Husky jerks and then the, flicker minnows,
the Rapallo Husky jerks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the,
okay. So let me ask you this. So you like using the deep Rapallos, what are they? 14, 15 foot, right?
We'll they just can, say. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Okay. So what if I'm trolling a bay that it's 6 to 8 feet deep? What are you going to do then?
Well, I don't.
You're going to put it out 50 feet, put it behind a board.
Yeah.
I'm going to do a board, and I may only put it out 6 feet.
Yeah.
That was a setup. I knew that.
No, I was like, that's a stupid question. We've done that 100 times.
Well, let them know.
But it's true. A lot of these Great Lake bays are not very deep. I mean, we fished in that upper part of the Big Bay, and it was,
even here, like Plum Creek is 6-7 feet deep.
Yeah.
We've run those deep baits because it's a different action.
Sometimes that different action
will work good. 20 feet behind a board. Yep. It's you better be ready when the board gets up to the boat because think 20 feet. No, that's not much.
Yeah,
length.
I know. And so we've talked about the
rods. We've talked about the reels, a line counter reel, what you prefer.
Yep.
We've talked about. Well, I think we've went over the baits. It's definitely a stick bait. What you need now, the boards. We've mentioned boards. Let's go over that before we wrap this up.
So we're talking planer boards.
Planer boards.
And I think it's. So what I have come accustomed to, and actually this is from fishing with the three of us over the last few years, is I like doing probably two boards and two long line.
And then
that way you could pick it up and actually work it a little if you want. But I definitely have started to find, I think our catch rate on the long line has been every bit as good as the board. And sometimes it's even better depending on the night.
Mm-hmm.
So so I like to do at least two and two or three in one where we are fishing, the two long line off the back and the boards off the side. But the planer boards are, whatever brand you decide to use. We're not completely, stuck
on
with one. Yeah,
we all use offshore.
Yeah.
But I like the flag system. We have the Tattletail flag system on it. And then there's a million different ways you guys can light up these boards, right? I've seen guys do crazy.
They put the red lights off the side and they put reflective material. You put a glow stick in it. Whatever it is, make sure you have it now.
We like the glow stick. I mean, they're cheap. Yeah. You can buy a whole pack of them at the dollar store. Split them up. Yep. The green works the best. Yellow is hard to see. Red's kind of tough to see. The purple's ridiculously stupid.
But we've used purple when we ran out because we're more prepared.
But whatever you have.
Anything's better than nothing.
But
that
purple
bright green.
Going,
oh, my God. The purple's brutal. But the bright green really works well.
It does. It works good. And you just stick them right. There's a little slit in the flag. You just stick it right in the slit of the flag. I know Junior likes to put them halfway through to keep it buoyant. We put them about a third of the way through to keep it up. It doesn't affect the board that I notice at all. It maybe makes it tilt a little bit, but I can see it. We're a little older, so maybe we need a little more visual.
These old eyes.
But I got to tell you, isn't it not the coolest thing? I remember we were fishing up at Horsetooth a few years ago, all three of us. Is it not the coolest thing when you're fishing with those glow sticks and those eyes hit it so hard when you're running those shallow baits and it just pulls that board under the water, just gone.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, glow stick and all disappears. 1, 2, 3. Lights, 1, 2, 3.
Lights out.
Lights out, man. And all of a sudden, you're like, oh, this is, and you start to reel it in and board stays down for half the time you're reeling it in. And all of a sudden, boom, pops up somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, like right in the middle of the boat or something. I love that. That is just one of my favorite things.
You're not dealing with a dink.
Yeah, that glow stick is really a cool thing to see. And I don't know how like those tea lights and things like that work if it does go under the water, but it was something else to watch those bright green glow sticks just vanish. And sometimes they would vanish two or three at a time. And that was way cool because then all of a sudden you're like, one. That's it, one, you know?
Yeah, I know. It's a lot of fun. Yeah. So if you want some more information on boards, we do have a YouTube video out there where Mitch did some board stuff for us. So you have an idea how to at least hook them up. But there's a lot of videos out there how to use a board. I know that some guys are kind of intimidated by them, but boy, I'm telling you, it can be a game changer because you're really covering a lot of distance of water.
Don't be intimidated. Just give it a shot. An hour working with them, you'll be like, these are easy.
And if you can't afford line counters and all that stuff, you absolutely can troll with your spinning rod. Mm-hmm. Kind of the same way, you know, it's springtime, you're going slow, but make sure your spinning rod is equipped with the right line. I would not go less than 10-pound test. If you're going to troll with it handheld, sometimes that's the best way. But make sure it's equipped right because now you're using the boat to move it. You're going to go slower, 1.2, 1.4, something like that. But still, I mean, on a spinning rod, I mean, that could be a heck of an impact, you know?
Yeah.
And if you do get that, you know, carp or that northern or even that big bobo that comes across and slams it.
Well, no, and kind of a way to use those spinning rods, and then we'll wrap it up. But that, like, sweeping it. So, like, if you don't have a line counter in your spinning rod, right? So when you put it in the water at the back end of your boat, open up your bales or sweep it up to the front. Okay, that's a 7-foot, 8-foot, whatever your boat has, that's an 8-foot. Bring it back, tight line till you get to the corner. Sweep it again. Now you're at 16. Sweep it again. You know what I mean? And keep going through that because once you find that, you want to be able to
replicate it for
sure.
And do yourself a favor. Precision trolling app is an absolute must. It is pricey, $100 or $110 or something like that.
I don't even know.
But it updates every year automatically. Well, I mean, even monthly. I mean, automatically. Yeah. And they're always working to improve it. And it's a lifetime membership. And off you go. I mean, it's an absolute must. You cannot fish crankbaits in any capacity if you
super accurate.
Yeah,
super
trolling accurate. If you don't have that app. So,
well, this is going to be one of many series about what we're going to do in the spring to get ready. This is when the water just comes off. I mean, the ice just comes off, and you're able to cast from shore or able to get your boat out. If you guys up north can't get your boat out, well. Should have moved down south.
Well, but <they're, laughs> and they don't have dude hardcore, right? Yeah, and they don't even have the whole walleye season, right?
They can't even fish for them.
But when you do, when you start doing rivers and stuff, we'll talk about maybe that in the next one. And
sure.
You know, obviously, what you're going to order right now is different than what we're going to order. But you know, as we progress, those orders get different, and what you want coming in is different because the fish are going to start dictating different
each month
stuff.
Is a little different. So from everybody at All Eyes on Fishing, I'd like to thank you for your time and sharing us and following us on Podbean and also any other avenues that you're listening
Radio,
to.
There's Pandora,
a bunch of them. Yeah, I mean, oh my
Spotify,
God.
We're on.
But we do appreciate it. Also check out our Next Level for anybody that's interested. We do have hour long or better podcasts out there where we go into super depth like this. We would spend a whole hour on and get really dialed into so many different aspects. So
how do I find that, Brad?
At podbean.com.
But what do I do?
Shut up.
click any one of the next level podcasts and it will prompt you to show you how to subscribe.
And just do that. You can do that from anything, you know, just you go on, you click any one and it will prompt you. So,
all right, guys. Well, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
This has been All Eyes on Fishing. Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard, go ahead and subscribe to The Next Level. And you can hear longer podcasts and more information on all of your favorite topics. And check us out at alleyesonfishing.com for apparel, blogs, and other information. Don't forget to check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. All Eyes on Fishing. Leading you to the next level.